May the Lord grant us patient endurance as we negotiate the rough waters in our lives with Him at the helm. Truly, He is bringing great good through our sacrifices. I pray that we do not grow weary in well-doing, dear ones. After my communion service, the Lord Jesus spoke with me. He began, "I want to speak to the nation of America tonight. Because you have not spurned your connections with Israel, but have courted her favor and even gone beyond. Because of that, I declare that I am your defense, your security, and your strong arm. Behold, you shall call a nation that you do not know, and a nation that did not know you shall run to you, because of the Lord your God and of the Holy One of Israel, for he has glorified you." I believe in that scripture the Lord is referring to America coming to the side of Israel. The Lord continued, "Because you have elected a man after my own heart for this nation, not a perfect man by my standards or anyone else's, but suited to govern this nation and look out for my interests. Because of this, I will be your defense against your enemies, America. Many are those who wish to bring disaster upon you. Many are those who prepare traps and snares for you. More powerful than your own resources are the ones coming against you. But because you have joined yourself to my holy nation, imperfect as it is as well, for this reason, your enemies will not have their way with you. What is still lacking is repentance from your worldly ways. However, you have run to the aid of those oppressed in this world, and for this reason, I will train you in the ways of repentance. You have looked after the fatherless, the orphan and the widow, those oppressed unjustly in prison. And for this reason, I continue to train you in repentance and abandoning your lust for power and accumulated goods. Be ever so vigilant that as your wealth increases, so do your good deeds to those who have no recourse in this world but to cry out to me. Because you hearken to those severely oppressed and suffering, I will hearken to you, that your enemies do not have their way with you. But you must continue to remember the poor and their destitution, and train your children up in holy and unselfish ways, contributing to the welfare of the poor as an act of mercy daily in their lives. Yes, train your children in mercy, and mercy shall be given you. Do not allow your children to bully or make fun of the disadvantaged in their community and schools. Do not allow them to laugh at or taunt those who have not, and those with life-challenging handicaps. Teach your children to look out for them, even as your Father in heaven looks out for you. Then I shall protect them from the snares set to entangle and destroy them in their youth. Many traps are set for your children. The enemy makes their demise one of the most pressing of his agendas, and there is little you can do to protect them besides prayer. But if you teach them to look out for the poor, to be kind to the socially disadvantaged, to defend the rights of those who are mocked and hated, if you turn their hearts to this kind of response, I will lead them away from these traps. But if you see them as merely an extension of your life goals and envision them as selfishly pursuing a career to your and their own benefit and turning a deaf ear to the suffering, then they shall indeed be led into captivity by your enemies. To the degree you train them in mercy, to that degree will mercy be given them. For too long, your agenda has been prosperity, and there are those among you who, having attained that prosperity, wish to go from money-making success to the next money-making success, and they roll their eyes when donations to missions are called for. They're living on very dangerous ground for both themselves, their marriages, and children. I am calling you to repent and see to the needs of those around you. Then your light shall arise like the noonday sun, even as it is written, Come, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters, and he who has no money, come, buy and eat. Come, buy wine and milk without money, without price. Why do you spend your money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which does not satisfy? Listen diligently to me, and eat what is good, and delight yourselves in rich food. Incline your ear and come to me, hear that your soul may live. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, that he may have compassion on him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, and neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the rain and the snow come down from heaven, and do not return there, but water the earth, making it bring forth and sprout, giving seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes out from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I purpose, and shall succeed in the thing for which I sent it. It's Isaiah 55. And here for a minute I thought to myself, well, Lord, it seems like you're contradicting yourself. At one point you're saying that our nation is going to be blessed. I was thinking to myself as I was writing this, well, Lord, you did say also that you would bless this nation because of those who reach out to the poor and the fatherless, and now you're drawing attention to those who don't. It seemed a little contradictory to me. But then when I went back over the words, I realized he's talking about those who really do give to missions, who really do help those nations that are in crisis right now. There are plenty of Christians that are giving. But after he addresses that, he addresses those Christians who aren't giving. And he's speaking that America's agenda for a long time has been prosperity. Yes, well, that certainly has gone down the drain. But it's going to be coming back. And there are those among the wealthy who, having retained that prosperity, wish to go from money-making success to money-making success to see their worldly agendas accomplished. And the Lord is saying, no, don't do that. Some of you are not giving to missions with your heart, are not looking after the widow and the orphan, the fatherless. Some of you are living just to see your own family prosper and the careers of your children go forth and prosper. And at the same time, you're not looking to the needs of those countries that are devastated right now. And that's who he's asking. Have a change of heart, repent, and take care of the poor of the world that are going through terrible, terrible crisis right now. So it made sense after all, is what I'm saying. And there was something else that he said. He said, open your hearts to the poor and see if I do not open heaven's windows to you, windows of graces and provision for your souls to be enriched with the true riches. And I was also reminded of another chapter in Isaiah. Is not this the kind of fasting I have chosen? To loose the chains of injustice and untie the cords of the yoke, to set the oppressed free and break every yoke? Is it not to share your food with the hungry and to provide the poor wanderer with shelter? And when you see the naked, to clothe them and not to turn away from your own flesh and blood? Then your light will break forth like the dawn, and your healing will quickly appear. Then your righteousness will go before you, and the glory of the Lord will be your rear guard. And that struck me especially when he said, the glory of the Lord will be your rear guard, because that's exactly how he's also protecting Israel. And he's made a promise to us here that he's going to protect us as well, because we have come alongside of Israel and looked after her needs as well as a nation. God bless you for your prayers and your kindness to us, heart dwellers. You are some of the finest and most loving and most gracious people that I've ever met. And we are so, so blessed to have you in our family. God bless you.